For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. I am Scott Edwards here of Fightful, and with me today is New Japan play-by-play commentator Walker Stewart. Walker, how are you on this fine afternoon?
I'm doing well. You know, Scott, I was a little thrown off when you went into the intro there because I was too busy vibing to that like retro wave 80s Fightful intro. That was awesome. Why have I not seen that before? It's great.
I know we have a few videos like that. That's my favorite one. Every interview I do, I try to pick that one. But man, I'm so happy to get a chance to talk to you. For those who don't know, you and me used to work on the same site once upon a time.
Oh yeah.
Before, you know, you were calling New Japan and I was here at Fightful, and it's kind of crazy how the world comes together. Now you are calling New Japan Pro Wrestling. You're fresh off a power struggle. We're in the midst of World Tag League. Oh, and this little thing called Wrestle Kingdom is right around the corner.
Yep.
Pretty exciting.
And oh, yeah.
I think the fun question to really just kick off this interview, because I'm sure you read it a lot on Twitter. X.
Oh, yeah, the X.
Who is Walker Stewart, right? You're taking over for Kevin Kelly, who obviously was such a big part of New Japan over the past decade. So, Walker, let's get into that, shall we?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I did read that question a million times over. I'm not super big into it right now, but when the announcement first came out about everything, rumors were going around that Kevin was going to be focusing more on AEW. Mm-hmm. I was searching the name up. I was going, what are people saying? I was hanging on to every word way too much. Thank God I did not hold on to that. But yeah, I read that a lot, you know, and I had colleagues close to me and even, you know, my family being like, oh no, that's horrible. I can't believe they'd say something like that. I never once was offended by who was Walker Stewart. I see it as opportunity, opportunity for, you know, hey, if you had a vision of who Walker Stewart might have been, if you had any idea who I was prior to the New Japan announcement, cool. It's time to reshape that. And not that it was a negative vision by any mean, but you know what I mean. 21 years old. I believe, and I don't want to toot a horn that doesn't exist, but I believe the youngest international wrestling broadcaster in the history of professional wrestling. And I've said that to a couple people who would know a thing or two about a thing or two when it comes to stuff like that. And no one's argued with me on it yet. So someone tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sure a million people will if I am. I have been doing this for a little over 2.5 years. Started on the independent scene. I'm from Oklahoma here in the United States. And I go to the University of Oklahoma. I'm pursuing a film degree there. Creative media production is technically what it's called. It's film TV production. You know how it is. Yeah, man, super regular. Like, it's not, I it's so funny because, you know, getting into a position like this and really just kind of being plucked from obscurity, you'd imagine there's something incredibly special about, like, oh, this person must be blah blah blah. I've just been living my life, and then it happens. So it's a really crazy situation to find myself in. But yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg on who Walker Stewart is.
Well, man, I know you've been putting in the work. Anyone that follows you, anyone that knows you, you've been putting in that work over the past 2 years. I don't know if anyone's told you, but your voice is built for this. I'm sure you know that by now, but it is built for this. I've heard people say that, especially after your first New Japan show. And I think what's so exciting is you kind of get to now create this new era of New Japan as the new commentator, right? It's a kind of a fresh new era looking forward, right? With the likes of Shota Umino coming in, Yoda Tsuji, all these young guys, and now you're getting to call that. But before we get to that, I think the most exciting thing for any wrestling fan, because you know you're a fan first and foremost, we all are, how do you get into wrestling?
Oh man. You know, like I, this is a reminder that I'm 21 years old when I give this answer. maybe this isn't as strange of a thing as I'm making it out to be in my head. This feels like a very Gen Z answer, but it was the video games.
That's me. So
I remember probably being 7, 8, 9 years old, 8 years old in 2010. John Cena, The Miz was the coolest thing in the world to me for whatever reason. Or John Cena, Batista, Over the Limit, Batista, Attitude Adjustment, John Cena over, you know, whatever, off the car. You remember that whole thing. Yep. Led to the retirement angle, blah, blah, blah. Or he actually left, I guess. But you get what I mean. Yeah, man. Like, that was totally my vibe. There's a lot of people. It was just the theatrics of everything, which is the big thing when, like, I've gone around doing seminars on the independents and, you know, talking about my growth and networking and doing promo seminars and stuff like that. And one of the big things I talk about in those is the theatrics of professional wrestling. Cause I think it's what really attracts everyone to what we do. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was the theatrics that led to the video games, and the video games are really what kept me hooked. And it's funny. There's a game, it's WWE 2K14. I was burnt out on wrestling when this game dropped in 2013. I say burnt out like I had been watching it forever. I was, God knows, 12 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't like, I was kind of fading off it a little bit. It was the 30 years of WrestleMania mode in the game where you recapped like a big match from every single year's WrestleMania all the way up to WrestleMania 30. And it gave me like this 30 years of history in a game, and I was like, I'm obsessed with this now. This is the coolest thing ever, because it introduced me to the history that coincided with the WWE Network dropping, and then I was off to the races from there. And then from then on, it's just been finding out that independent wrestling exists. Places like New Japan, Ring of Honor, AEW has come around since then, and we're off to the races.
You sure are. Off to the races is a good way to explain it. But, you know, I love that you bring up the video game thing, because that's how I got into it. I played SmackDown versus Raw 2007. No idea the people on the game were real people. That's my favorite thing to tell people. I was like, this is just a game.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing that. And I like your idea that you could go through history through the game. Going through history, I think, is a lot of things, is something that someone in your position obviously has to do, because, you know, you need to know certain things and moving forward. But when it comes to the indies, which of course you've been on for the past 2 years, you can only go through history in so many ways, right? There's no game to go through
the history
of the indies and certain indies that you've worked for. So, you know, I know you started in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma area, and you've pretty much branched out everywhere. You know, I've, as someone who's been friends with you on like as simple as like Facebook, I've seen the places you've gone, I've seen what you've done. How has that been? You're 2 years into this, you're 21 years old, but struggles and anger, I'm sure, comes along the way, and you know, you're trying to get yourself to the top,
right?
How has that journey through the indies and commentary been
as so, opposed
to wrestlers?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. One of the first few months I was in professional wrestling, there was a promoter in the state of Oklahoma who I expressed interest of getting out of the state, going and traveling down to Texas to doing some commentary announcing work. And they told me no one outside of the state will book an announcer from another state. And that was a very motivation by spite moment for me, if you will, where I was like, well, what if they're good enough? You know, and what if that person has the drive and has the energy and has the ability to show for it? And so that led to my Texas exodus, and I have pretty much made it a goal to be everywhere at once. I think that there's a situation where some people, professional wrestlers, commentators, anything at all, and this is just entertainment and arts in general what I'm talking here, but professional wrestling specifically, I see this a lot. People like to think that the opportunity is going to come to them and the opportunity is going to knock on their door. Opportunity was not going to knock on my backwoods Oklahoma door. I really didn't think it was. And maybe it would in a situation, in a way it kind of did with New Japan, but I had to show people that I existed, and they weren't going to know that if I stayed in my same area. And that's a big thing. It's a big topic of conversation in professional wrestling when it comes to that level of independence I was on at the time. And so my goal and what I've been trying to do probably since the first few months I got in, after I kind of got over the, wow, I'm by a real rest.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Sling ring. There's real ropes and wood under that ring, and like this whole thing, the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed moment. I managed to realize that, well, okay, I want to do this professionally. I'm young. I have the ability to make this a career. I have an ability to work at this for what I imagined was going to be the next 30 years of my life until I'd finally landed a contractual work somewhere, right? Funny how that works.
I'd say so.
the situation was me saying, what do I see the people I watch on TV, the announcers I idolized growing up and still do to an extent? I wanted to just emulate that bar for bar. And I'm not saying steal catchphrases, by God, Jim Ross, whatever, like throw on the cowboy hat too while I'm at it. But, you know, I'm seeing, all right, well, WWE guys, you know, Michael Cole, Corey Graves, all of these announcers that work for World Wrestling Entertainment, they're traveling constantly. They're on the road all the time. And while they're contractually obligated to do that and be there, I said, well, hey, if I want to be in a contractually obligated position, let's work like I'm already there. And that's what led to going out and traveling to Nevada and Mississippi and random independent shows that had never had commentary before, but I'm hitting them up because I have my own equipment going, hey, I'll do this, and I'll also edit the footage for you, and I'll throw this service on top and this service on top. And it's the concept of every job I've had for myself in wrestling beside the one I'm currently in right now was work that I created. It wasn't a role they were looking to fill. You approach someone and show what kind of service you can offer, and then eventually, you know, things start to work that direction. But that was it's kind of a long-winded explanation, but that was the expansion, that was the motivation behind it. You know, I just wanted to I had to go find the opportunity, you know? And it was finding that opportunity and being everywhere all the time and working every single show I could get my hands on as much as possible that led to my work with New Japan now.
You are traveling everywhere. You are working on all these promotions, editing. You know, I'm sure it's a long, long, long task each and every show that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you're going to college. That is another entire, you know, how many hours a week that you're doing. So you're on the road. And I know a lot of these shows are on the weekend, of course, but still and I don't know if you're doing, are you doing remote? Are you, whatever it may be, how are you able to balance all of this wrestling stuff that has pushed you from the indies to New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? Like one of the most known wrestling companies in the world, one of the most historic, while going to get your degree, while attending the University of Oklahoma?
I mean, it was really difficult from the beginning because I don't know if I've talked about this publicly at all, but when I first got into wrestling, I actually wasn't doing the film degree whatsoever. I was an opera major. So I was doing music. I think that might explain the voice. I have the classical vocal training, the music training. I was doing a 4-year, which most people take 5 years for it, vocal performance degree on top of a business management degree and a minor and something else that was so worthless and I didn't need it. So, and I didn't finish it because I was like, all right, I don't need this anymore. And then, you know, once I actually got into wrestling and I started doing the video production side of things, and it made me realize like, oh, wow, I really do like media creation. I love the idea of working in entertainment more than I would like business management sitting in an office. And, you know, entertainment was already kind of involved in the music thing. So that was my fix there. But it actually led to me realizing, hey, you know, I'm putting a lot of hours into this wrestling thing. I'm more passionate about it than the music side of things, even though the talent might have been there, the passion wasn't. Let me switch the gears, switch my degree into something that makes more sense. So, you know, now I have the film degree and all that, but it was a hard balance because, you know, you're teeter tottering and there's always going to be a week where school has to be more important. You have finals coming up, you have tests, you have this, that, and the other, and you might be missing a couple of deadlines that you didn't want to miss. And you had no intentions of missing on the wrestling side of things. You say that these shows were weekends, which they were, but with the editing work I was doing and the post-production commentary and even just the travel hours, driving
the travel
16
itself.
Hours round trip is a full day in itself. So I'd end up taking a lot of that work into my weekday, and it almost was like working two full-time jobs essentially. So it was hard on top of, you know, my lovely girlfriend, JC, she's been incredibly supportive throughout everything as God love her. I don't know if I could have been, but she's been great for me in that and with me in that. And I just, as grateful as I am, you know, there's the struggle of, all right, school's important. I'm paying for it. This is here. Wrestling, this is the passion. But man, I also have my family. You know, I have my mother and father. I have my girlfriend. I have friends outside of wrestling that I wanted to maintain contact with and other passions I wanted to keep up with. Like, you know, you and I met when I was writing for Last Word on Sports, you know, and now it's just one of those things where I had to pick and choose where things went, if that makes sense.
I would say so. But I mean, again, with the travel, with the editing, with the schoolwork, with the family, with the friends, girlfriend, like that is almost two lives in one in many ways. But you are balancing it all. Now you are, you know, on your way to, again, you're already with New Japan, but you're on your way to some of the biggest events wrestling has all year. So let's talk about getting there, right? And who has helped you along the way? Because no one, and this is business in any field, not just pro wrestling, but you always, you know, people need help, people look for help, people get help. Who has been some of the biggest helpers along your journey over these last 2 years?
You know, a lot of people want to say in pro wrestling, it's who you know. And sometimes that is the case. The talent obviously has to be there to back them being willing to say they know you as well. And some people will say, oh, well, it's who you know. It's who you know. Well, why don't you get out and go know more people then? Meet more people if it's who you know so much. Kevin Kelly. I could talk all day about this man. I've never met Kevin Kelly in person, but I'm meeting up with him when AEW comes through Dallas in December, and I said I owe him a couple of dinners. This is a guy who approached another very, very, very good friend of mine named Brutal Bob Evans. He had done some work with Ring of Honor back in the early to mid 2010s. Approached Bob, and Bob's one of the best talent scouts I know on the independents right now. And I'd hire that dude tomorrow to do it. He ended up approaching Kevin, or Kevin approached him saying, hey, I'm thinking of leaving, but I don't just want to leave New Japan high and dry. I need a talented voice. I need a dedicated voice who can be here for the things that he couldn't really just make the commitment for. You know, he had his wife of 30 plus years said, hey, I want you home more often. And that's something that I don't believe anyone in their right mind should fault a man for wanting to be home with their wife more. So he said he was done. Bob Evans was willing to put my name forward, having never heard my announcing before, which is a crazy feat. He'd maybe heard 20, 30 seconds of a clip I'd put on social media at one point. And this kind of goes back to the conversation of hard work paying off. You know, some guys will do 30 to 40 shows a year. Some guys will try their hardest to get to 100 plus matches a year. You know, I, as an announcer, I don't rate myself on matches called, obviously, but shows. And I did a little over 220 in the past 2 years. And that was something that, you know, I think Bob brought my name up to Kevin, and Kevin said, oh, a 21-year-old kid, get out of here with this. You know, what are you tossing me this for? And Bob said, but wait, listen, he did, you know, 200 plus shows. This is what he does. He makes jobs for himself. This is a guy that you want on your side. And Kevin was willing to take Bob at his face value there. And I started having conversations with Kevin a little bit before G1 Climax ended this year. He was obviously overseas and tired because G1 Climax is 5 weeks long. So he was like, you know, talk to me after Climax ends. And he was kind of getting more into his role in at Collision at the time. And we were just going from there, man. It's Kevin and Bob who are the two guys I can point to and be like, you know, they didn't hand me a job on a silver platter whatsoever, because the work had to be there for Bob to be willing to put my name forward, for Kevin to be willing to not punch Bob in the face when he said the name of a 21-year-old kid he didn't know, right? But, you know, that's I'll always be grateful for those two guys to be willing to put a stamp on me, especially a guy, you know, like Kevin, 30 plus years of pro wrestling announcing, Wrestling Observer announcer of the year a million times over, just this like guy that I looked up to, and now we have conversations every other day, just, you know, talking about life and wrestling and whatever else. And I'm very happy for being able to call Bob and Kevin my friends. So those are two guys. But in the genesis of my career, there was a good few guys that I wanted to mention on the interview today. James Southard, Leo Fox, and Mike Andrews are three guys based out of Oklahoma. Leo Fox has done some stuff with the National Wrestling Alliance, good contact with EC3, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. James is a commentator, announcer, producer, has helped me with a lot of my production stuff in the past. And Mike was the guy who I shared my very first commentary booth with. And these are the guys who, when I didn't know how to handle at 18, 19 years old getting into wrestling, the pressures of, hey, not only are you going to drive 12 hours and probably not get paid, probably get stiffed over on money, because that's how some levels of independent pro wrestling are. Those were my sounding boards. Those were my rocks. Absolutely. So professionally, it's those five guys. We're making a Mount Rushmore and putting an extra head on it for them. So,
yeah. Well, it's like you said, it comes down to having those rocks to lean on to push you forward, right? I'm sure there were days that you just were like, is this worth it? Is this? And ultimately, we're sitting here now talking about what is coming up in your future, not only in your past, but
and even just one more thing on that, you know, it's even the people close to me and, you know, my lovely girlfriend, JC, who had to be the sounding board when I'd come home at 4 a.m. going, oh, sorry, I didn't get paid today like I expected to. Or, yeah. You know, my mother and father who have been incredibly supportive and kind and just like coming with me to the shows because, yeah, it kind of helps me out with gas in the early stages. But also they just like being there to support and maybe hear my voice in the background of the live arena. You know, it's a really cool thing, and you got to have those people. And I think that's been one of the biggest, if there's an advantage that I've had, it's that, you know, having good foundationally solid people in my corner.
The foundation goes a long way, obviously, and it gives you strength in many ways. I think that's what you're really saying here. But I mean, you're, like you said, you're 21 years old. You're getting this opportunity of a lifetime, 2 years in. You've said that you've done over 200 shows. You have someone like Bob backing you up, to someone like Kevin Kelly, who, like you said, has won so many awards, has, you know, he's done it. He's done it all, essentially, right? He's calling AEW Collision now on television, and here you are in the booth for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So before we get to getting that call and making the decision, why do you believe you're in this spot so soon?
I do think, kind of, I hinted on it a little earlier on, but I really do think, you know, some guys will do 30 to 40 shows in a year, and I might have done the work of 5 to 6 years for you know, a typical person in the industry in my 1 to 2. And that is not supposed to come across as like a, you know, wow, so-and-so so much better. It's not that. It's I made it intentional, and this is something anyone can do. I made it intentional to look at my calendar every single month and go, all right, there's wrestling shows that run in this country on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I found some Thursday shows as well and filled as many of them as possible. Even if, you know, not being afraid as well to go and offer help, because yeah, not everyone, I mean, I'm auxiliary talent is what I am. I'm not needed to run a wrestling show on the independent level. You can have a live wrestling show without a commentator, without an interviewer, without production. You probably need a ring announcer, but some people don't even have that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it becomes an important point of making sure I was willing and completely capable in a way that I was blessed to have the time and have the ability, or make the time and make the ability to go and approach these places and just offer help with whatever. I'll pop the popcorn. I'll do this. I'll do that, because I'm in the system and I'm learning. I'm always finding new things to learn about and take them with me and take them back from wherever I went to help my area, help my scene, help my friends, do what I can. I think a lot of that stuff, I'm a karma guy and I'm a God guy. I think both of those really, really played into to the situation here. So that's kind of my thought, I guess. I think that what goes around comes around and all that stuff, you know? And I like to think that I did right by a lot of people, and the world has done right by what I came in here to do. And I'm honored and blessed for that. So
absolutely. I mean, like, putting in the work, you put in the work everywhere you went. And that brings us to the call or email or whatever it may have been from New Japan Pro Wrestling. So of course you meet Kevin Kelly, you start talking with Kevin Kelly. He's someone that you can now call a friend. And you know, of course, owe a million dinners to. But
absolutely,
when you get that call from New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, will you be our next play-by-play commentator English commentator for a company that obviously has had so much history, so much of the biggest matches in pro wrestling history, especially over the past decade alone. Mm-hmm. What is going through your mind in making that decision? There also comes to the point of, okay, I'm going to have to travel to Japan every month, at least, you know, because Japan, New Japan runs a lot of major shows,
right?
Pretty much one a month. Of course, it's not just Wrestle Kingdom for those who, you know, may tune in and out of New Japan for their biggest events. There's the idea of the G1. And of course, we talked about balancing your family, balancing your friends, your girlfriend. What is going through your mind when you're making this decision, when the decision even becomes yours to make, and then once it's made?
So I remember some of this is a little foggy because even though it wasn't that long ago, because there came a point where Kevin had called me and said, hey, you're the guy, and if you want this, it's yours. And it was said so much that I just didn't believe it, because it didn't seem like it could be real. I did not believe I was going to be signing with New Japan Pro Wrestling until they sent me the contract, and I didn't believe it. Like, I couldn't make myself convince myself, hey, this is a real situation that you have earned and put yourself in, and now it's paying off. I got the call from Kevin, who basically had, at first he was like, hey, send me a highlight reel, send me this. I said, sure, I will send you whatever you need. No idea what he did with that. No idea who it was shown to, what the situation was, who had made the final decision. But basically there came a time where he was like, hey, this is yours. And contract was sent over. And the hardest part for me, my biggest goals in life, ever since I was 7 years old, I didn't want to be a wrestler. I wanted to be Jim Ross. I'm an Oklahoma guy. Jim Ross is an Oklahoma guy. I listened to a lot of his stuff growing up because of the network, you know, and he just being a Oklahoma legend. And, you know, I go to the college that's on his Tron whenever he when he makes an entrance, you know, so
his music, you know, everything.
right. Yeah. And so I've always wanted to do this. And I think in the back of my mind, as many situations or reasons I could come up with to not sign, to not take on this ordeal, none of them would have been enough for me to not do it. Because I felt like I was maybe trying to talk myself out of it at first, like a little bit of an imposter syndrome thing. Oh, this isn't for you. You don't know anything about New Japan Pro Wrestling outside of Omega Okada and you know, all the stuff that was talked about in the pseudo mainstream sense of what, you know, professional wrestling, when things start to break out of that Eastern hemisphere into the West, you know.
Sure.
And so I think I was just trying to talk myself out of a lot of situations. The hardest thing definitely was figuring out with the travel. I'm 6'6", 320. I'm a big guy, don't do well on domestic flights, let alone international 14-hour flights. That's going to break me down, but I'm going to enjoy it every step of the way. I think the hardest thing for me was figuring out the college situation, because I have determined what I'm doing. I'm putting my degree with the University of Oklahoma on hold, most likely transferring to a fully online institution, getting it out of the way. Or, you know, given how the next couple of years goes, maybe I come back here just, you know, but I'm getting that degree. That's number one. That was a promise I made to the parents. I'm going to keep true to that. And so that was one thing. The other was just, you know, like I said, it's Kevin. I love Kevin because he's been super honest with me about a lot of the process. And I'm sure some of the boys that travel internationally to go to New Japan can express this, but it might be a little different for them because they're the locker room, they're the boys, you know. Kevin would, and he was open about this, so I'm not revealing anything crazy, but he would travel on the bus with the boys, the only non-wrestler really to do so. There's a point where, you know, you're in these small hotel rooms and you start to feel this like loneliness, your 14-hour, 13-hour difference from your family, from your friends. And Kevin was super upfront about all that stuff with me, but I think it scared me more than it should have, because I've experienced it now. I know how I can handle it, but I was never not going to take it on. This was always going to be what I was going to do no matter what, but it was, those fears were there, like you said. And it's just, but this whole journey, man, this whole career I decided to embark on, these moments where I would drive 16 hours round trip because the promoter messages me back and goes, hey, show up and maybe we have something for you. You know, like that's there's fear in that too, because there's the fear of rejection. There's the fear of, what if I get there and I mess up? I'm not good enough. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. I've been able to look past all of that on an independent level, on a contracted level. I should be able to do the same thing. And that's what sealed the deal for me.
Man, that is like one of the better explanations of the fear, the anxiety, the things that go through someone's mind when making a big decision, especially one like this where you're traveling across the world for your job. Right?
I got culture shock going from Oklahoma City to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
And Las Vegas, you know, I was like, oh, there's no grass and it's like rocks and stuff. This is interesting. And I was born in California. I just don't remember any of it because we moved when I was two. So it's like I was never there. But, you know, so you could imagine I go to Vegas for my first time ever in my life in like May 2023. I decide to onboard with New Japan and they're like, hey, your first show is October 28th, 2023, you're going to Vegas. And I was like, oh, I remember having like a really big culture shock. And they go, yeah, well, you know, the next week, you're going to Tokyo after that. Oh, well, what, you know, I think I know what culture shock looks like. Let's let's figure out until I'm there. And it was big. It was really big. But that's, like I said, it's all part of the fear, but it's all about overcoming that fear. Nothing in this life is worth doing. That's worth doing is gonna come easy, you know, and I've known that, and that's what brought us to the dance. So
I'd say so. And I think the, maybe not full circle, but the Las Vegas moment maybe is the perfect full circle type moment for this scenario, because it's going from, oh, what a culture shock, to, oh, this is my first New Japan thing. That's nothing now. And then, of course, like you said, a week later, you're in Tokyo. So let's kind of talk about that. Let's get right into the, you know, first feelings of it all, right? So, of course, you did the Vegas show, and then you also did the show in Texas, Lone Star Shootout. There we go. Yeah. There we go. I almost said Longhorn. That's Texas College. That's my bad. So Lone
Star.
Those
are fighting words for me, buddy. I don't know.
I know. That might have been the best part. So you do these two U.S. based shows, but of course you go over and do a handful of shows, including Power Struggle. Right. Power Struggle is one of New Japan's huge shows. Pretty much their last big year end show outside of World Tag League Final. What was that experience like getting to work with Chris Charlton, one of the smartest people in professional wrestling? Yeah. You know, I'm watching you during the John Moxley, Great O'Con fight, just having to move out of the way. You know, this just chaos all around for your first ever major show. Just bring us through that experience. Bring us through, you know, getting to know Chris as well, because I'm sure Chris has been a wealth of knowledge for you already.
Yeah, I know that this is super unintentional, but it crossed my mind during like the O'Con Moxley affair, or even parts of Osprey Umino in the main event, where I was like, "Oh man, these guys are really trying to break me in the hard way," because you know they're flying past me. Osprey's net caught my shoulder off a drop kick over the barricade, and I'm just like, "Oh, this is new for me, right?" Yeah. Oklahoma has a wrestling commission where they'll shut down a show if stuff like that happens and gets out of line. And there are some other places in the states that do as well. So yeah, of course I wasn't used to that. Traveling to Japan, hard, fun, exciting, everything all around. I love Japan Airlines. They have big seats for big people. God bless. At least bigger than you'll find on a Southwest flight. So I'll appreciate it. I flew into Tokyo, I believe, on November 1st. And I just took the entire night. You know, I met up with Charlton at the airport. He took me to the hotel, got me set up. Charlton's fantastic. He is, as you said, a wealth of knowledge. And he's someone that I really, I see myself finding a lot of inspiration from going forward because, you know, I listen to him call shows with Kevin, especially super intensely whenever the New Japan offer came up. And I was like, well, let's see what everyone's already working with. And, you know, the way that Chris can just weave and tell a narrative with, you know, this encyclopedia of a mind that he has on Japanese culture, Japanese wrestling, you know, as someone who about 5 months ago had absolutely zero of that. It's almost daunting. It's almost overwhelming. Like, oh man, I have to remind myself like, oh, this guy has been speaking the language for 20 years and he's been doing this, that, and the other. So he's kind of been ingrained in the culture and now in the New Japan system. But I see myself, I'm very inspired by Chris in the sense of, you know, I know that on the broadcast, especially for the foreseeable future and going forward, I'm going to have to rely a bit more on Chris than I'm comfortable doing for the historical analysis, for the historical callbacks, things that I just wasn't around for, wasn't alive for, a million other things. And one of these days, the hope is, and I'm not trying to push Chris out of a job by any means, but the hope is that I can also do that as well. And if at any point Chris decides to go on to a different venture and we have to bring another person in, I get to be that person for someone else. And that's something that motivates me. And, you know, I've had conversations with you off the record that I'm now going to put on the record of, you know, hey, teach me about this. Teach me about this company. I've been putting out these tweets of like, can someone tell me about All Japan? Talk to me about Noah. Tell me, you know, you and I had a great 2-hour phone call about Stardom and we're probably going to have more because, it's not just like I'm not coming in here to collect a paycheck, you know, and I think that that's something that I'm not trying to shoehorn it or ham and fist it over with anything. I don't have to do anything in my life, let alone in professional wrestling, the thing that I love to do the most. And so, all right, you're bringing me into a country I know nothing about. Time to learn everything about the country. You're bringing me into a system with all these companies that I've heard of, but really don't understand the true gravity of. Time for me to understand that gravity, you know. Charlton's a guy who helps and inspire that a lot. So I love working with Chris. I loved working with him on the broadcast. You know, there were times where we were almost passing the lead position, if you want to call it that, back and forth on Power Struggle because I think it was good on my end at least to be able to recognize, hey, this is a moment that would be better suited with a guy like Chris who's been watching this Osprey Umino thing play out a lot longer than I have. So time for me to lay out and let him do his thing, and then I'm going to come back in, and eventually that's not going to be a situation that we have a problem with anymore. Chris is fantastic as a person. I cannot say enough positive things about that guy. He took me to get ramen right before night 9 of Super Junior Tag League. I'd never had ramen before, and I have this gray shirt. And if you really zoom in, I mean, on that 720p quality of the old NJPW world, I don't think you could tell. But if you really zoom in, you'll see ramen, like the broth or whatever, the stains all over my shirt because I never used chopsticks before. And I still think Chris was low-key trying to rib me. I really think there's something to that. But hey, I'm not one to be throwing out accusations. But yeah, I love Chris. Power Struggle was incredible. 5,000 or a little over 4,000, 5,000, whatever the number was, it doesn't matter. It felt like a million to me. Because the energy in that arena, when Robbie Eagles was on commentary at one point, I believe it might have been during the main event, he acknowledged that our table was shaking and the monitors were rumbling a little bit, and you could feel this vibration. And it's like an energy I feel in like my heart and soul for wrestling, but to have it physically enforced and showcased, and I can feel it, and I can point to other people that are feeling it. It's such a magical thing. I don't even know how to express it, dude. I get paid to talk for a living. I can't find words, but all being said, Power Struggle was incredible. That main event of Ospreay and Umino, which I think we could talk a little bit more on later on in depth, but Ospreay and Umino, that main event is right now like my favorite match of all time that I have ever seen, whether it's live, whether it's on television, whatever. And I'm fully okay with admitting that it's because I have that personal bias of it being my first main event on a big show.
Best scene in the house.
Also just the way that, you know, it made me feel about myself as a performer, because this is a performative art in a sense. It's like one of the first times I've really connected with a wrestling match in that way live. And I just think it was a perfect storm, perfect aura of everything combined at once. And if that doesn't sell, if what I just said doesn't sell tickets to the Wrestle Kingdom 18 event in the Tokyo Dome, I don't know what could, because that's a hard sell right there. That wasn't the intention, but I just spun it into that. So no,
I mean, if we want to sell Wrestle Kingdom now, we could do it right now. but I will bring up that Ospreay Umino match, because I do think one, it not only has it had the match of the year contender tweets and fanfare, right, as many Ospreay matches do, you know, that's kind of his thing, as we've seen throughout this year, right? Started all the way back at Wrestle Kingdom with Kenny Omega, came down all the way to Power Struggle, and you get to call that match. Do you see that match also as a learning experience for you? Like, this is big New Japan main event. It's Will Ospreay and one of the new top young stars, Shota Umino, in there. They have a storied history that, like you said, you and Chris Charlton are tossing back and forth to help tell that story. Was that a learning experience from start to finish? You know, 40, I believe it was 40 plus minutes. Felt like it was like half that, truthfully, watching it from here, let alone, I'm sure, when you're in the building calling it. You know, you say it's, you know, your best match you've seen. There is the bias, but it's bias that's reasonable. It's bias that's understandable, you know, because like you said, you were feeling that, right? You're feeling that energy in that building, calling that match. So does that type of match also just make you want to be better in your overall development? Again, 2 years into this, you're already so good at selling the match, but now you want to get to that other side, right? Like Chris, you want to have that story so you can add your touch to it in many ways.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, you know, and you know this as a viewer of Japanese wrestling, but for anyone that may not know this, that style of match, that 40 minute plus, you know, just balls to the walls in the last 15 minutes. But you know, it's a long build over a period of time. You know, I'm used to, as they say, hitting my times. So, you know, they go in a match on an independent show, for instance, hey, you guys have 8 to 10 minutes. All right, well, that means I have an 8 to 10 minute match to recap 2 years of history between these people and why we're here and blah, blah, blah. And, I've gotten in kind of, I believe, into a habit of speeding up like that explanation process. One of the things that Chris and even Kevin has been super influential in helping me with is realizing, hey, you know, these main event matches are going to go 25, 35, 45 minutes long at some points. And it's okay to pace yourself, and it's okay to, you know, I don't want to say draw out the explanation of the story. Not, you don't want to bother people like that, but it's there's an art to it, you know, of finding a way to tell a story over 40 minutes of in-ring action. While you're inside that ring, the story could change at a dime. There could be an injury, a body part someone starts to work on, XYZ. And that was something that I think developed within that match as well, with, you know, Chris expertly pointing out Red Shoes being the referee and being the father of Shota Umino. And all right, well, now here's another dynamic that we now play into for the next 40 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
There is an art to calling professional wrestling that is easy to say. It's generic, whatever. But there's a particular skill set that it requires to call those long main events. And it was something that I realized, I'm not saying that I don't have that, but I realized, all right, like there's growth here. You know, I didn't walk in thinking I knew everything, but, you know, let me do these shows, find out what I need to work on. That was an immediate, all right, here's what I need to work on. And, you know, calling Super Junior Tag League in post-production now, doing World Tag League for the little bits that I have in post-production, 25 minute main events, 20 minute main events. It's slowly starting to develop, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's also going to be helped. Like I talked about earlier, when I kind of get into that Chris Charlton role a little bit more in terms of having my history and what's going to be easy. You know, I'm young, I'm going to grow with the product. So if I'm here 10, 15 years down the line, I'm only 36 years old, which is insane to think about. And all right, well, cool. I'm 36 years old. I have another 70 years in me or whatever, God willing. And I now have the past 15 years that I lived through. So I don't, it's not like a matter of playing catch up. A lot of my historical gathering that I've had recently, I mean, this company's existed since 72. I was not alive then. So I'm constantly playing catch up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's going to help that as well. But point being, yes, there it is a growing process. It is also like a stamina thing as well. I think the longest match I had ever called before was maybe a 32-minute rumble or something. So like you look at the semantics of that. All right, it's 32 minutes, but there's 28 people in it, and that's 28 different people to talk about. So it's almost like multiple 2-3 minute matches, you know? So, and I don't know if I'm getting a little too technical within my explanations. You could stop me if I am, but
no, it's perfect. I think a lot of people want to hear that.
Right. I mean, it's, these are the little thing, you know, indie wrestling commentary. God knows I could go on a spiel about this, but it's sad the state that some places have it, but it's more than just, oh my God, I can't believe this. Wow. Yeah. What a maneuver. As easy as it is to slip into that, what a maneuver at some points and channel the inner Vince McMahon, you know, there is that art of calling these long matches. So drawing out that Umino Ospreay story, 40 minutes, all the subtext, and also, you know, the hypotheticals, that's something that Chris is a magician with those. Hey, if Umino wins, does Ospreay do this? If Umino wins, does Umino go and do this? You know, oh, he's going to challenge Jon Moxley for Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, this is going to happen. And then it spins us down this trajectory, down this well. It's we talked about things being poetic. It's poetic in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, a long-winded explanation. You can tell that I'm good at those, but no, it's 40 minutes, long time. So.
It is. And you're getting used to telling those stories, you know, you're watching through New Japan. Like I said earlier, you know, you talk about being here, hopefully 10, 15 years down the road, learning through the process. You know, you got to call the biggest match of Shota Umino's career. Again, he's in his first full year back in the company, just completed it after his excursion, all these other big names coming in, right? Tsuji, like I said, Yuya Uemura, Ren Narita, Ryohei Oiwa will be coming back eventually after his run in Noah. But again, that's where you want to learn more about Noah because he's teaming with Kaito Kiyomiya, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But there's this very big event coming up. Very big, I'd argue.
Really?
Of course, I'm talking about World Tag League Finals.
Yes. December 10th. Watch live on New Japan World. Hey, there you go. But
in all seriousness, we're talking about Wrestle Kingdom. You are going to be calling your very first Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th, the annual major event that kind of unofficially kicks off the year in professional wrestling, yes. I like to say, right? It's the first major show of the year. It's New Japan's biggest show of the year. And of course, that leads into New Year's Dash, which is a show of surprises and enjoyment. But let's talk about that Wrestle Kingdom show. The card involves Sonata versus Tetsuya Naito, a historic match in terms of their relationship, right? Former Los Ignobles de Opone members turned in some ways rivals now after mm-hmm. Naito won the G1. We have Will Ospreay's maybe not final Wrestle Kingdom. We'll have to wait and see. After he signed with AEW, he'll be defending some sort of belt. I don't know what belt, but he'll be defending a belt at that show against Jon Moxley and David Finlay. And then, of course, Kazuchika Okada one-on-one with Bryan Danielson, the other big signature match on this show that you get to call.
It's crazy to hear that. I almost got chills hearing that, and it's I'm trying not to be like, oh wow, look how great I am. That's not how I feel at all. But it's a thing where I hearken back to my first ever wrestling pay-per-view I ever watched was WrestleMania 30 main event Daniel Bryan winning the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and now I get to sit here and say, hey, 14-year-old Walker, you are calling the Bryan Danielson Okada match, which Okada, for the little bit that I knew about New Japan, was my favorite New Japan wrestler outside of Hiromu Takahashi, actually, prior to getting, you know, involved. And so it was I just being there for that video to play on the screen during Power Struggle, having my voice, the one that is associated with it, with the call afterward of an eye for an eye and an arm for an arm on the mind of the American Dragon at the Tokyo Dome. Like, that's something that I by all means, I hope outlives me and people can go back and watch. And that's really how I feel about this entire endeavor with New Japan, but Tokyo Dome shows specifically. You know, these are things that go down in legend, go down mm-hmm. in history, for good and for bad at times. Wrestle Kingdom is all eyes on it. All eyes.
It is. It's the show of New Japan that everyone is watching. Last year, Mercedes Moné made her New Japan debut right at this very show. Ospreay and Omega faced off for the first time, right? There's so many things that this show leads us to. So, in terms of, you know, hyping that up and the excitement that comes with Wrestle Kingdom, you know, some people may look at the card and there's a lot of new names going to be on this card once it's fully completed. For you going into this show, right, going into the Tokyo Dome, ringside for all these big matches, just besides the Okada Danielson feeling, right? What is the excitement level for you in terms of getting to call such a big show? Right, we talked about the 5,000 plus at Power Struggle. There's a lot more than 5,000 plus in that Tokyo Dome.
Yes, and I'm gonna feel every bit of it. You know, some people in this position, I've had some people close to me asking, like, are you nervous? Is there a pressure there? I'm a guy who there's pressure. I'm an anxious mess. There's pressure constantly until the headset goes on. I was anxious about doing this interview for whatever reason. I put the headphones on, pulled down the mic, and I'm pretty chill now. I'm also like 38 hours on no sleep, but we're trucking through the day. So, hey, I had to make sure that World Tag League commentary went up. it's the fact that this card has so many interesting matches that I have no clue where any of them are going to go. You have the New Japan World TV title match of Zack Sabre Jr., who's trying to hit his, you know, he's already has this record, but further this record even more of successful world television title defenses. He's facing Tanahashi. The long-standing situation with Hiromu Takahashi and Desperado for the junior heavyweight championship. We saw that call out at Power Struggle. I mean, some of this is we talked about things being poetic. I love poeticism today because there's changing of the guard all over in the broadcast booth with myself coming in. But also, you know, Will Ospreay who's to know what's to come with Ospreay and New Japan Pro Wrestling and Wrestle Kingdom going forward. And then, you know, David Finlay destroying the titles and, you know, who's really pulling the strings in Bullet Club. There's so much just to look at where you say that Wrestle Kingdom is like the reset point. We're slapping the button, hard reset. Let's go from here. I think that is very true in this situation, just as it usually is. But the difference is I get to be ringside at it, and I get to be at it live. I never pictured being in the spot, you know, but take it and run with it. You know, I don't have time to sit here and say, oh man, I never thought this would happen. Oh, we're already here, you know? So I can't be thinking about that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you were talking about how you watch those Okada Omega matches, right? Hearing Kevin and Don Callis call those matches. You're going to be that guy now. You're going to be that guy calling these matches, right? And I think that's obviously very exciting for you. We're about to hit an hour here, so we'll start to wrap up a little bit. I appreciate your time, as always, Walker. My last two questions for you, then we'll wrap up. It would be wrong of me as the Joshi guy, as the guy that covers Stardom for Fightful, to not at least bring this up. You know, you got to call Julia's match, of course, and Mayu Iwatani's match when they came to America recently. Mm-hmm. They will not be on the Wrestle Kingdom card as of now. Of course, you know, anything could happen. That strong women's title is always in consideration. I'll never rule that out. Mm-hmm. The IWGP, of course, will be defend on a first time ever Stardom show right before at Tokyo Dome City Hall. So that's very exciting. What is your excitement levels in terms of seeing New Japan embrace the, you know, the women's wrestling side, the Joshi side of things, when it comes to just their overall product?
I think that this is a good first step. I am completely, I'm completely in the mindset of, I believe that there should be, and obviously I don't have a place to make decisions like this, which is why I sit at a commentary booth. But, you know, I think there probably should be a women's match in the Tokyo Dome. I think there should be some at the very least on these big, you know, the power struggles and wrestling Dontaku and, you know, all these things. And I think that I might be a little personally disappointed that there's not. But, you know, Bushiroad also with the Stardom product. I mean, those Stardom girls, man, you and I talked about it privately, but they, some of the hardest working professional wrestlers, men, women, whatever, you know, no gender division here. They're the hardest working professional wrestlers in the sport, I'd say. Just looking, you look up cagematch.net and look at all their recent shows, and it's like, oh man, they have a show almost every day. Like, this is it's a crazy situation, you know. So I think that is somewhat might be a part of why, and obviously I don't know the back end and the ins and outs because I'm not office, but I think that could be, you know, partially a reason as to why we're not seeing as many of, you know, women's championship matches or women's title defenses on Japanese cards. But here's to hoping for the future, because I really think that there's a time to capitalize on it, and I think that time is right now. Who's to know, you know, how the injury is healing up for one Mercedes Moné. I know that was a very big thing for people having her come into the New Japan product and stuff. So, you know, I love me some women's wrestling, and I'd love to call women's wrestling in Japan. So
that's what we like to hear. I know a lot of people are hoping for that, not to put words in your mouth, but, you know, here's to hoping with the more your role grows, of course, throughout New Japan, and so on. Maybe that can make its way over to Stardom sometime down the road. I'm just putting it out there.
Sure, you know, I want
to put it out to the world, because they have some major shows that I think would excite, including the day of Wrestle Kingdom, which, you know, you might be busy, but that's okay. All right, we'll wrap up with this question. Because I think this is a fun one for you. Maybe you already have the answer, but there's so many great professional wrestlers that enter the world of New Japan, whether they are signed to New Japan, whether they come from outside. You know, you talked about all the promotions in Japan, you know, they have a relationship with AEW. List goes on and on and on. What is one matchup that, if the opportunity ever presents itself, that you hope to call one day? And that could just be the one that we're already getting that you kind of talked about earlier with Okada and Danielson. But is there any matchup that you just would love to get the chance to call somewhere down the line?
Man, it's so interesting you asked this question. I haven't actually thought about this out of all the time I've had to think, but you know, there's almost a feeling of me just wanting to say names, and you could use any combination of them. And some of them have probably already competed against each other in some form, but you know, but excluding legends, people that are passed on or retired or anything like that. Like, if I'm talking future and I'm talking present, I'm looking at guys like Kaito Kiyomiya, and I know that he's a pro wrestling Noah guy, but if I'm anyone who's anyone, I'm investing in Kaito Kiyomiya right now. I'd love to see Kiyomiya Sabre Jr. I think we need that singles match with Kiyomiya and Gabe Kidd somewhere. Someone mm-hmm. has to make it happen somewhere. I'm a big Zack Sabre Jr. guy. Shota Umino, Ren Narita, Yota Tsuja, obviously. Gosh, man, I could stack so many of these guys up against each other, and you could always find a way to make it better, add another name, move this person here and rearrange. But, and I really think what that does, Scott, is it places us in a situation to really take the step back and look at the full spectrum of not just New Japan, but Japanese wrestling in general, and realize like how blessed we are, how deep that talent pool goes. And what's crazy, and I can say this as someone who was in this position 4 months ago, there is an entire group of people in this world that don't know about it.
Yep.
And I think that, like, in the situation I'm in now, and I'm not saying this because I'm employed by a Japanese company, I've been made a genuine fan by everything that I've seen. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't want to go out publicly and speak about it. You know, it's mm-hmm. There is such a deep talent pool. I think it's hard for some people to really, at least on the Western side, invest in Japanese companies at times, just because, you know, you can't casually turn it on television or blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. Man, deep talent pool. And, you know, a good amount of it, I'm happy to say, is talent that is in New Japan Pro Wrestling in the Bushiroad system with Stardom as well. And that's something to be proud of. That's really something to be proud of.
100%. Well, Walker, thank you for an hour plus of your time on 38 hours of no sleep. I think the best way to wrap this up, though, I want you to, you know, tell the people where they could find you, whether it be X, Twitter, any other social media platform, where we're going to be listening to you. I think yes. That's also very important. Where are we going to be hearing you next? Of course, that, you know, New Japan or wherever. And wrap it up with, what should people expect from you as New Japan's newest play-by-play commentator?
Still feels crazy to hear that. you can find me on all social media at Velvet Voice WS. I'm actually going to be doing some when I start getting deeper into my Japanese tours, when I have downtime to kill, I'm going to be doing some Twitch live streams, actually. Going around like the country, and like some IRL content, but also, you know, just I'm a big gamer guy. So I love, you know, I'll need something to do in those small hotel rooms to keep me sane. So, you can find me at Velvet Voice WS. It's on your screen now on pretty much all social media. I love when people tweet at me and talk to me like I'm customer service. So next time New Japan World's not working or something, I'm your guy, man. I that sounds sarcastic, but I really, I like helping out in that way. So, I guess going forward, you can hear me NJPWworld.com, Axis TV, and you know, any of the Japanese TV stations. Well, actually, I don't think they're carrying the English commentary, but you can watch the product at least. So you can
see. You can.
And going forward, I mean, it's an interesting question. I think what you can expect out of me is besides the obvious, the full transparency, the realism, you're gonna get with my style, my personality. It's very sports oriented. It's calling it as real as you possibly can, because that's exactly what this is. It's a sport. And you know, I know it's an adjustment of style for some people. I've seen some people calling me dry and whatever else, but you know, I'll lighten up eventually, right? So I just think that you can expect the utmost effort. That's all I've ever been able to give in my life and my career, and that's what I want to continue to do. And hopefully my goal in professional wrestling for the long term, on a final note, is to do this for the rest of my life, however long that is. I'm 21 years old. I probably have the potential to do this for another 60 years all across the world, a bunch of different companies. But with the position that I'm in right now, if I spent the next 60 years of my life in New Japan Pro Wrestling, I would not have a problem with it. And I'd be happy to do so. So I'm in it for the long haul, baby. That's exactly where I'm at.
Everyone can get invested in Walker Stewart and your commentary moving forward. I think that's something everyone loves to hear. If you want to hear Walker coming up, there's a lot of New Japan events to know. World Tag League Final, like we talked about earlier, on December 10th. They have the Road to Tokyo Dome shows on the 21st and 22nd.
And I'll be live in Japan for those ones. It'll be great.
And of course, January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 18 inside the Tokyo Dome with New Year's Dash the day after, as well as Battle in the Valley back in San Jose this year in January 13th. So I feel like if you want to hear Walker, if you want to hear the Velvet Voice call these big New Japan events, that's where to find them. Make sure, because that's some of the best pro wrestling you're going to see in the world today. Absolutely. You don't want to miss it.
And you know, on a final note, and I know we're running out of time here, but I just want to say, you know, 21 years old, I find myself connecting with a lot of the younger talent in New Japan. Your Callum Newmans, Kosei Fujita, Ren Narita, Shota Umino. These are guys, especially with a guy like Umino, who I just called that main event. I feel I am forever linked with a lot of these younger talents that are coming through the system, even young lions like Oscar Loibe and Yuto Nakashima. Like I feel linked with them for life. And my goal is, you know, for fans of the product, for fans of New Japan Pro Wrestling, you can find it in yourself to link with me and grow with me and watch me grow. And we watch each other grow, and we all come along for the ride, and that's the goal. So thank you Scott for having me. This was fun. This is my first interview I've gotten to do, so that was cool.
I know. I'm happy I got the chance to talk with you. I've talked to you, of course, before. You and me have been going back and forth for a few weeks now, but I'm happy I got the chance to interview you first. Just claim that when you're, you know, 20 years down the line, when you're calling another Wrestle Kingdom, I'll just be able to happy say, hey, I interviewed that guy that's you know, calling the biggest match in the world. But Walkers, thank you so much. So for you, for Fightful, I'm Scott Edwards. We'll see you next time right here on the YouTube channel. See ya.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.